Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Hey, man, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACS, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can visit the website, learn more about the organization, their codes of conduct, what they actually do, how you can get involved with the organization, and click on the tab that says Learn More, go into their learning center, as well as their store, and peruse around. You're going to find some interesting things that you can rock with. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Going to learn more about me, going to learn more about Pat, and the rest of our hosts for our other shows that we have. Because we got a plethora of shows right here on the network. But you got to go to the network, which is the website, and find out what's going on. You heard me? So, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, we got an app. Just go to the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Network. Bam. You're going to see the app. Download the app on your phone. And every time we release a show, every time a show is released, you're going to get that notification at the top of your phone. All you got to do is click on it. You ain't got to go nowhere to search for it because it's all right there in your face because the Freedom Train Network, and it go down. And that's how we do. But guess what? We got some other things that y'all could do if y'all want to get involved, if y'all want to support the Freedom Train. So, Pat, tell them about your Patreon.
I got a Patreon. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about
that. Yeah, yeah. That's Patreon, my cousin.
A word?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he went to high school with you.
I ain't even had no of that.
Dang. But what that is and how does that help you with your show?
Well, see, look at him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, Patreon is a place where people that want to release content can release content, and people that want to support those people in releasing their content can give money to support those people. They can either pay by the month or they can pay per whatever is released. And you can give as much as a dollar or as much as $500 million. Whatever you feel like giggity giggity, you know, you can giggity giggity. So that's what Patreon is. So if you want to go, Lessons from the Screen, got a Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/LFTS, Lessons from the Screen. And The Fix got a Patreon page. That's
Show enough. Patreon.com/TheFix, TheFix. That way you can go ahead and support The Fix and what we do on Patreon and become a part of it. And, you know, for a little as a dollar. And on the shows, the Giants also has a Patreon. So Patreon.com, OTSOG.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sponsor of The Fix, too. So you got to do patreon.com/OTSOG or patreon.com/TheFix. That way you can get in and you can support. And we appreciate it.
I knew that.
I know, but I like the theatrics, though. It helps.
Yeah.
What you got going on today, man? What's happening today, man? How your day?
Not much, man. You know, same as every other day, trying to take over the world. You know, we're doing this new thing with the kids that I'm not sure how many parents have tried this before, but me and my wife decided we was going to revolutionize parenting. It's a brand new procedure. We discovered it. Nobody has done it before us. And I'm giving everybody a tip on what it is right now on this show. So if you ask them what it is, and they don't know, that's because they ain't listen to the show. So our listeners, again, like this is world-class first-time knowledge. So we're trying this thing. It's called Being Nice.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Nah, go ahead. Go into details, please.
So,
details.
So basically, we're trying this thing called being nice, where you just kind of give a little, so that they can enjoy life a little bit. And the end goal of that is hopefully they'll learn to appreciate things a little bit more. And then that also makes it more painful when you take them away. So,
right. So
it's being nice with nasty intention, if that makes sense.
So petty.
Well, you know, I'm a grown ass man, so I don't think no grown ass man should ascribe to being petty. But if we got to turn it down to one word, it's petty. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. Grown men shouldn't subscribe to being petty. So you either gonna be mean or nice with me. So I just decide that I just gonna be mean. So you know, I don't have time to be petty. So I'm just gonna be mean.
Right.
But,
so
you know, that's what's up, man. On this good Sunday after we follow the Thanksgiving weekend. So
giving of the thanks, yes.
Right, from the pilgrims to the Native Americans after they stole their shit.
The pilgrims, huh? I like that.
Yeah, the pilgrims.
The pilgrims.
Cristobal Colon.
I bumped into somebody on social media last time I logged in, and this is why I keep look my. Y'all need to get off Facebook so that I can interact with people again. And I'm not talking about you, Joe. I'm talking about our listeners. Y'all, if y'all could do me a huge solid and just log on Facebook forever, come join us online. Come join us, you know, anywhere else. But Facebook.
Well, when you say online, you got to make sure you be distinct with that.
Oh, well, yeah, we got this Line app. It's the app. It's an app on your phone, Android or iTunes. It don't matter. But it's called Line. You know, and it's green background with the words Line in it. But that's where we're at with the Freedom Train. That's where we do a lot of our PACS communications. That's where we do a lot of our stuff at because social media is draining, man, and it's hard. It's just difficult to deal with people who, well, all of y'all have been on social media. I'm trying not to attack nobody or nothing, but it's
a lot of fuck shit online. That's basically what you're saying. It's a lot of fuck shit online. And you get tired of fuck shit after a while. So you be like, God damn, basically in a nutshell, it's an app called Line that you can get in the Google Play Store, whether you got an iPhone or Android, or whatever your app store, you can get the app called Line, L-I-N-E, with a green and white background. Come over to Line. That way you can get away from the fuck shit that's on the Facebook and the Instagram and all the other stuff. Any place that make you mad, we don't get mad online because we control all the content.
Right. So we chill. And, you know, I'm subscribed to whatever media outlets I want to be subscribed to, because I know a lot of people get their news from social media, and that's fine, but I get my news from Line. You know, every time a story is published on Time or the Washington Post or anything like that, they all have Line pages. I get sent the direct message right from the organizations with a link to the article and everything every single time they post. So I'm not missing no news. You know what I'm saying? I'm not missing out on nothing. So, anyways, I logged on to Facebook because, you know, I'm always trying to get back into Facebook because most of our listeners are on Facebook. And when I tell you that with this dude, right? There was this dude on there. He was in the middle of an argument with a whole bunch of people. And the argument was centered around Christopher Columbus. Now, I didn't know that there were people out there that still believed that Christopher Columbus discovered America. I did not know those people exist. I know some people are like, come on, Pat, we expect more from you. I'm being honest. I thought at this point that was common knowledge. Like, I assumed everybody knew.
Well, I can see where both of you all are coming from, because it's enough information now for people to know Now, all you got to do is Google it, and you know that Christopher Columbus. But at the same time, this is America. So.
But Buddy didn't even, like, that just made it even worse when I was just like, well, Christopher Columbus didn't even land in America. He landed in the islands in the Caribbean. What? Bro,
yeah,
why are you making
But you got to read,
bro,
though.
We on the internet right now. Just Google it.
You got to read, though. Like, I got I got a couple books from Columbus to Castro and Bartolo de la Colon, de la Casa, whatever. Yeah, them journals and stuff like that. Stuff you could buy. So I mean, man, you know, man, people, you know.
My thing was just, bro, we on the internet. Literally, we on the internet right now. Right now, you got Google right at your fingertips. Literally, right now. What are you doing? Why are you arguing with me?
Bruh, like, I have debates with people like that all the time about information that I know. It's an abundance of information that exists to support what I'm saying. And I'm not giving an opinion. I'm giving facts. Because a lot of people, a lot of people get twisted about what giving an opinion is and what giving facts is. Opinion is how you feel about it. And what you think about it based off of just what you think about it and how you feel. But facts is based off the actual evidence that was found to support a specific claim. So, we're in an age where everybody who's smart knows that they've come across one or several people who are so in their feelings or feel entitled to their feelings that because this is what they feel and they believe and this is what it is. So they will argue facts. So, well, it's not smart to do it, but you know
that goes into, you know, and I know we're not going to get deep into the report today, but that does go into, you know, piggybacking on things that you would think everybody would have acknowledged right now, by now, is climate change. Even if you disagree with whether or not humans are causing it, I think we all should be able to at this point agree that the climate is changing.
Well, see, even that kind of pisses me off when people try to argue that humans don't control or don't have something to do with climate change. Because, yes, we know climate change, even global warming, are natural phenomena, but that doesn't mean that we don't contribute to the unnatural warming or the unnatural changing of the climate, especially when hell, we can walk down the street and see a pile of plastic and a pile of trash everywhere.
Right. Right.
And I'm glad, you know, you built a good bridge. So let's walk that bridge, right? So today is going to be the first of a two-part series where we're talking about the environment, climate change, and its overall effect on our community and black people around the world. But, you know, there's life forms around the world. Like, we have to get to a space to where we're really taking climate change and global warming and pollution and all these different things serious. And like I said, we can walk down the street and see trash. Certain neighborhoods more than others. But the fact that you can go into a neighborhood, period, and see mounds of trash collected on the side of the road tells you that us as human beings aren't taking the environment serious. We don't really respect the environment and understand that those plastics and all those other different materials that we throw out that don't degrade, who are not biodegradable, they hurt the environment. And then on top of that, and I know Pat is going to go more deep into it, about Trump's effect on climate change. Because, you know, we did a show about Trump pulling out of the Paris Agreement. So, you know, Pat going to go take us a little deeper into that. But just get your minds wrapped around a healthy environment, but being honest with ourselves of where we are right now. So we're gonna acknowledge where we are, analyze where we are, break down how we can change things, and then create action steps. So that's how we're gonna go with this two-part series. So, Pat, give the people a little update or a little foundation on why it's so important for us to pay attention to our environment and what climate change is doing, and also Trump's role in the pulling out of the Paris Agreement, how that affects us as Americans moving forward.
Well, so all of this really got kicked into high gear back when we did the show on it last year or the year before last, I forget which, when Trump pulled out of the, I think it was last year, when Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement, basically saying that we weren't going to agree to previously made promises about reducing greenhouse emissions, carbon specifically. So, and his idea with that was, I don't want to destroy the coal industry. I don't want to cost American jobs, and I don't want to burden the economy with what was perceived to be by him and his staff, higher unemployment by shutting down the coal industry. So a few months ago, an intergovernmental agency put together a report that basically said that if we don't do something soon, then by the year 2040, 2050, we're going to reach, I believe it was 2040, we're going to reach the point of no return where it's going to become runaway and there's going to be absolutely nothing we can do to stop it. Now, last Friday, the United States government, at the request of Congress, produced another report specifically in the U.S. on climate change and the way it's affecting American communities and the American economy and how it's going to potentially affect us moving forward into the future. And what that report found is by the end of the decade or by the end of the century, climate change will have negatively impacted the United States economy, shaving as much as 10% off of it. Now, by that time, you're talking about $1 trillion. We're also looking at billions and hundreds of billions of dollars that have already been spent by the increasing severity and frequency of the storms that we're experiencing. These storms that we get, and not like, like if you remember back in the day, you used to get a Andrew or a Kate once every 5-10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're seeing them things every year, multiple ones every year. Every year you got a new strongest storm on record. And you know, and they're happening in rapid succession. So
And they're strong as shit because what's the one that just came through? Florida.
Oh, I forget his name. I forget.
So whatever the last hurricane that just came through, that big hit as that. A
my mind went blank.
That big hit as a Cat 4.
Yeah.
It exploded Mexico Beach as a Cat 4.
And you looking at like the storm that hit North Carolina earlier this year. You looking at Matthew that tore up the East Coast. You looking at Harvey. You know, like these storm Maria. These storms have just been coming. So in addition to that, a lot of people have noticed that the summers are getting hotter. But you're also noticing that there's a little bit of a shift in the way the seasons are playing out in general. One of the other interesting things is that we're going to really start to notice of late, I was talking to my wife about this, we used to have this very, very powerful mosquito killer that used to destroy the mosquitoes, real powerful things, called winter.
Yeah.
We don't, yep. Like, winter is slowly being phased out. Now you're going to start having just rampant mosquitoes year-round, not just mosquitoes, but insects and bugs of all kinds are going to start running rampant. You're looking at crops no longer operating the way they used to. You know, you're looking at entire industries and sectors moving from one country to another just because of climate change. You know, we like to think of wine as being something that's great in French lands, but prior to the current climate cycle we're in now, the English were producing the wine, and it's looking like it's going back to the English now just because of the changes in the temperature. So,
well,
go ahead.
I was thinking of something. I forgot exactly what I was thinking about just when you said that. I don't know how the hell that just blanked my mind, but I mean, damn, what was you saying? Damn, it just slipped my mind just that quick. That's crazy.
So, but we're looking at, we're going to be looking at like health issues that people are going to be having, and that's something people don't think about when these storms get really bad. Frequently, people are sick can't move, and then you're worried about them being in a place with a generator that may or may not go out. You know, and now you have a health emergency. Old folks' homes usually experience deaths and increased sicknesses in the aftermath of storms just because of the lack of resources. So you're looking at devastating situations in terms of health. You're looking at the money that it's going to cost. You know, it ain't nothing like having your home, like what happened in Matthews or in East Carolinas, where 2 years ago their homes were destroyed by Matthews, and then the storm came up this year and destroyed all their homes again. You're looking at what's going on out there in California, where there's a little bit more to the fire issue because they spent so much time suppressing the wildfires in the 80s and the 90s that now the areas that would normally be sparsely populated with greenery are now covered with greenery to be burned up. But you're still seeing more fires, and the management of the fire in the fields and things of that nature, that's only one component of it. The other component of it is just the dryness from climate change. So you're looking at things happening on both coasts. You're looking at sea level rise, meaning all these people with these wonderful homes on the beach, they're going to have to start thinking about either putting their homes up on stilts or leaving the area altogether, both of which are going to cost money. And then you're looking at government subsidies that are going to be paid out to compensate people for all of these things, which means you're looking at a government that's going to have to gather those funds from somewhere, which means we're all potentially looking at new forms of taxation, new forms of or higher forms of taxations than the ones we currently have. So all of this stuff ties into the climate getting worse. And we're at a point now where even so far as the rainforest, we used to always say we got to protect the rainforest because the rainforests are absorbing a large amount of our carbon emissions. Well, they did a study on the Amazon rainforest, which is, I believe, the largest remaining rainforest in the world, and found out that it's no longer sucking up carbon. Now it's emitting carbon. So it's sucked up so much carbon that it can't contain anymore, and it's releasing the carbon that it was holding, which means now our rainforests, instead of becoming a buffer, are becoming an accelerant. So, you know, it's getting bad. Now, there are things that we can do. The technology doesn't exist to remove carbon from the atmosphere, but there are other things that we've been putting in the atmosphere that have made these things worse, that are worse than carbon. Like, there's a refrigerant that used to be used to keep refrigerators cool. And when it got into the atmosphere, it was a couple hundred times, if I believe, I could be wrong, but it was like a couple hundred times more powerful as a greenhouse gas than carbon is. So we stopped using that, but it was still in the atmosphere. So now they have the technology, they're able to pull that stuff out of the air. There are other things, man-made things in the air, that were worse than carbon that they're able to pull out of the air. So we aren't able to right now pull carbon out of the air at a rate we need to change things. But we can pull a lot of that other stuff that we're putting in the air. We can pull that out at a rate where we can slow things down until we can gain the technology to do real live atmospheric, you know, reorganizations or whatever it is. So there are things we can do. And I say that because a lot of people feel like, well, it's hopeless. What can we do? There are things that we can do now that can at least slow it down until the technology is developed. The ocean is another big absorber of our CO2. And, you know, the ocean can only absorb so much. You're looking at methane being released during the ice caps melting and things of that nature. That's the real threat of the ice caps melting, in my opinion. Not just sea level rise. That's probably the majority threat. But another big threat is the release of that frozen methane in the tundra and all of that. Methane is 23 times more powerful as a greenhouse gas than carbon is.
I read about that as the frozen tundra in the Arctic and all those places up there, that methane was trapped in there since the ice age.
Right.
And it's starting to be released. And like you say, it's going to affect those areas. And as it comes down, it's going to be, you know, it's going to toxify the air even more. But
right.
I remember what I was going to say earlier. So going back to what you was talking about the winters disappearing, what's different is living here in Tallahassee. You know, we never really, we either had a winter or we didn't have a winter here in Tallahassee, right?
Right.
And it hasn't really changed that much. So you have to go outside of Tallahassee and into other places to kind of really get the effect of the winter not being as significant as it was. Because yes, it's still going to get cold, and we're still going to have those times, but it's not a winter like it used to be.
Right, and, right. And that's a good point.
And it's something that has to be looked at, because like you're talking about the amount of gases that are in the air that is affecting. Hell, even the amount of plastics that you find in the oceans, in the rivers, and sewage systems and all that. Like, what the hell, when they was talking about that community in North Carolina, that county in North Carolina, where they got doodle holding ponds and they use that water to fertilize the vegetables and stuff. So now we're talking about total environment, because you can't eat that damn food. You can't eat that food, but it's just like that's environmental injustice too. But Black people have to start taking environmental injustices as serious as we take like civil injustice or our other types of rights, because our environment is important, because this is where we live. And if our environment is threatened, we got to be hands on sight. That's how we got to be when our environment is threatened. But we have to be able to look at our environment and see our environment as important, so we can do that. Like, if we, like, you know, I'm not trying to pick on the projects, but I'm just being real. You go into the projects, you see some of the worst conditions outside and inside, but it's a lack of total self-esteem for the people and their environment. And I've been saying this for a long time. When you don't have the self-esteem for yourself, you don't have the self-esteem for your environment. But it don't just have to be projects. It's a lot of times Black communities, especially if it's not an upscale Black community, you're going to find trash around. You're going to find the stuff that just walked over, stepped over, been on the ground forever, broken glass, plastics, trash, whatever. The trash can. Now, even in the neighborhood I live in, when the people come get the trash, they don't even care about getting all the other stuff around the trash can. So the whole environment ain't right. Like, it's horrible. We're doing ourselves an injustice if we really believe that we can ignore what's going on with our environment. Like, we really have to pay attention to the environment and understand how it gives to us and helps us sustain our lives. Right. And once the earth get back, our ass is going to die.
Well, that's another part, too, because when you start talking about the toxic atmosphere, I did think What the Health was trash as a health documentary. But
me too.
It did have some valid points, especially when you start talking about the ecosystem, the totality of an ecosystem. And if you start talking about toxic air and acid rain and all of that other stuff, that stuff seeps into the soil and it does affect the plant products. It affects the animal products. And by nature of that, it finds its way into our systems through absorption through the air, through our skin, through us breathing it in, or through us consuming it in our diets. So in the hoods are the places that are most often affected because we tend to get low quality food in the hood.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So
save a lot.
Right. So it is one of those things where, you know, black people, and we said this last week, there isn't much on the show. There aren't many times where I'm going to tell black people that we need to sit aside race. There's only one, actually, and that comes to the environment, climate change. Now, when I say sit aside race, I don't mean ignore it. I don't need nobody misunderstanding what I'm saying. The white person is still a white person. Don't confuse the issue.
But that don't mean you can't work together to improve the environment.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You can still side-eye them and work with them in terms of getting the environment together, because it does no good to achieve freedom if the cost is the planet. Like, I'd rather leave my kids a livable planet, that way they can continue to fight, than to win the fight and have the next generation be wiped out.
Right.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
So, you know, the climate is, it's a serious discussion, one that we don't talk about that much, because I honestly feel like, you know, you think about it like the ozone conversation we used to have back in the day when you remember 10, 15, 20 years ago when they were like, the ozone layer is developing holes, and if we don't do something, the ozone layer is going to disappear. We're all going to die through the cosmic radiation. And so what ended up happening? We ended up taking care of the environment. We ended up removing a lot of those harmful toxins from the environment that were causing the ozone layer to create these holes to open up. And the ozone layer healed itself. It replenished itself. And we didn't all die. Now, there are a lot of people that think we didn't all die because they were lying. No, there was truth to what they were saying. There were holes in the ozone layer, and those holes were getting bigger. But we took the necessary steps, and those holes closed up. The planet healed itself. It's the same thing with this climate change. The climate is going to change regardless. Climate is not a stagnant thing. We've experienced a wonderful period of calm these last couple hundred years, thousands of years. Because if you remember, for those of you that know, going back 5,000-6,000 years ago, the Sahara Desert wasn't the desert.
It used to be a lush forest. Right. I'm glad you said it, because I was going to bring that point up before I lost my train of thought the first time. But that's what I was going to bring my point up. Because now, my angle with that was going to be, see, things like that are phenomena that people will use to try to negate what's going on right now as far as the added things to climate change. Because, you know, the Sahara going from being a forest to the desert, and then something like the Ice Age, yes, those happen, you know, through natural causes and those things, through nature, but that still doesn't negate the chemicals and the bullshit that we're releasing into the environment. Like you have whole species of animals who are actually dying off. Like, I'm watching something on TV, watching polar bears just starve trying to find food because their hunting grounds aren't the same due to the polar ice caps melting too fast. And like you said earlier, it's going to cause sea levels to rise. And then that's another thing too. Since sea levels have risen in the past, you could also have people trying to use those things. But this time when sea levels rise, it's going to be our fault. So we have to wake up.
Right, and that's exactly what I was getting to. It's not that these things aren't happening. It's the fact that they're happening so much faster because of other things. Now, you could say the sun's getting hotter. I've heard that argument. Whatever you want to say, right now it's happening faster than it usually happens, and it's going to be more extreme than it otherwise would have been.
Yeah, But and not to cut you off, but when people say the sun is getting hotter, do they have evidence to prove that the sun is getting hotter? And then do they have evidence to prove that the sun getting hotter is causing these things to happen at a rapid rate?
Well, those are the questions that people that have those arguments need to really be asking, because it's not just, is the sun getting hotter? It is the sun getting hotter? Does that correlate to the increased temperatures on the earth? Does that correlate to the increased weather phenomenon on the earth? You know, that I've also heard other people say there are only two forces in the universe strong enough to affect weather on the planet right now. One's the sun, the other's the moon. So if the sun's not getting hotter, then something's going on with the moon, to which my question is always, well, what's going on with the moon then? Are you saying the moon is getting closer? Is it getting farther away? What's happening? So if you have these ulterior ideas, I'm not even saying you're wrong or right, because honestly, I don't know.
But what I just am, can you answer those questions?
Right. If you're going to present those ideas, you should be able to answer the follow-up question. And for those people listening to those ideas, those have to be the next logical follow-up questions. You know, you ain't just going to tell me the sky purple and not tell me why.
I mean, but that's my thing is coming from, because the sun may actually do be getting hotter. I don't know. Shit, I just want to know. And I'm going to ask that question as if I already know the answer, because I want to see if you know the answer. But shit, I don't know.
Well, in regards to the sun getting hotter, I've looked that up. And I will say the sun is getting hotter, but it does not correlate to what's happening in our environment. They don't match.
Right.
So it's kind of, from what I've read anyways, it's one of those arguments where it's an argument, but it's not necessarily the right argument because it doesn't line up. That's like somebody getting sick. You're saying, my homeboy's sick. Your homeboy got HIV, but the other person is just like, well, he shouldn't have been playing outside in the weather. Well, yeah, playing outside in the weather will get you sick, but that ain't exactly what's going on with my homeboy.
Yeah, that's not going to get you. Well, yeah, even in that, like, that analogy you use, yeah, because playing in the weather not going to get you HIV. You got to be doing something very intimate to get HIV.
Right. So it's like you're presenting
the whole process.
Right. You're presenting an argument that doesn't match up with the results that we're getting. So, you know, and I'm not even attacking those people, because 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was one of those people that was like, the sun is getting hotter. You know, I had to research that myself and come around and be like, well, and that took me asking myself the next step of questions. Well, I've said the sun is getting hotter. Do those two things match up? And that's just off the strength of me not wanting to say anything that's incorrect. If I say something that's wrong, I'm going to come back and apologize, and I'm going to stop saying it. So the climate change discussion is a deep discussion. It's one that we need to be having more as a community. It's one that I don't hear us talking about enough. In my opinion, it's probably the only topic that is, at this juncture, more important than everything else we got going on right now. Let's just be honest about it.
Yeah, we got to stop bullshitting with this specific topic. Like, we're going to kill off future generations. Like, I was talking to my office this past week. You got people in West Beijing that's already walking around with masks on their face buying air.
Yeah, I mean, and
I don't want to have to buy air.
Right, and that's a great point, because in China, last year, I think it was, I did a show on it on Lessons from the Screen, where I mentioned it in one of my shows. Over 100,000 people died in a year in China from breathing the air, bad air. Could you imagine being somebody that dies because your air is toxic?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
people aren't even aware that that's going on right now over there. You know, like more people are dying over there from breathing than you got people dying over here from drinking alcohol.
Hey, I got one even better for you. And I know people don't take this serious because most people are afraid of them. But we cannot lose our beads. I'm going to say it again. We cannot lose our bees. If bees die off, all types of plant species die off.
Mm-hmm.
If all types of plant species die off, how are we going to be able to sustain these lives that we live? So if you want to continue to live how you live, we have to take care of the environment, replenish and replace.
You know, another great point to that is you look at the barrier reefs. There's been a lot of evidence to suggest that when the barrier reefs start dying off, there's a mass extinction event coming. And that's because the barrier reefs, the reefs are so critical to the ecosystems, both in the ocean and on land. And as the ocean goes, the land goes.
Yeah, barrier reef. Yeah, they working hard trying to replace those barrier reefs.
They are, because they are dropping off at an alarming rate. And that's why you have a lot of scientists like, yo, there's an extinction level event coming. We don't know when, and we don't know what all species are going to make it. But you know, an extinction level event is 90%+ of the species on the planet die off.
I know.
So you got these barrier reefs dropping. You got the bees dropping. You got all of these things that we depend on. Not even talking about depend on from a technological standpoint, just quality of life and comfort. We're talking about fucking survival.
Invasion of species, all these different things due to human stupidity. Like they got a lionfish problem right here in Florida that they're trying to deal with, and you know, all on top of the boa, the super snakes, boa constrictors, and what's the other one? What's the two snakes? Oh, pythons and boa constrictors mating and creating super snakes, super constrictors. All types of stuff, man. Invasion of iguanas, like all types of stuff. Like, yeah, in New York, like if people are still making jokes about the rat problems in New York, like that's not healthy. And then Flint, we got to get serious about the environment. We got to get serious about the environment and understand that we got to play a part in making sure that our environment is healthy and thriving. Because if not, we're all going to die.
DMB, we all we got, baby.
Ain't no sense of beating around the bush with that. Why beat around the bush with it? Why try to be nice with it? Forget that. Hey, if we don't fix the environment, we're all going to die. And it may not even be in your lifetime. It could be your children's lifetime or your grandchildren's lifetime.
But see, Joe, for me, that's the thing. Like, everybody's screaming, I'm trying to make a better world for my kids. Are you? You know, are you really? Because we done had two reports come out this year that say that it's very well possible that our grandkids could be the last generation. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but all of a sudden a comment like that creeps into the realm of possibility. And that should be scary enough, thinking that, you know, we might be, you know, we might, there's a possible chance. It's remote, I'll admit. But the fact that it's even a possible chance, you're talking about by 2040, climate change being a runaway event if we continue doing what we're doing now. 2040. So by that point, they're saying if it reaches runaway level by the end of the century, you're looking at an environment on a planet that looks distinctly different than it does right now. Now you're talking about another 30, 40 years after that, 50 years into that, you're wondering if it could even still sustain human life in a natural state without some sort of technological barriers keeping us alive. So you're looking at potentially by the year 2150, 2200, you know what I'm saying? We're running into a situation where we could be facing extinction event. You're talking about 2200. In the grand scheme of things, that's not that far.
Hey, man, you know? This planet will get rid of us before it allows us to destroy it. And people got to realize that. Listen to everything that's being said in this podcast, part one, because we're coming back with you with part two to dive a little deeper. Part one, we just want to set the foundation to get it in your mind in simple terms that if we don't start taking the environment, and I know y'all probably didn't think we knew this much about the environment, but we know about it. We probably shocked y'all, some of y'all, but straight up, we own it. But if we don't get our stuff together and get the environment healthy, this earth will destroy, it will get rid of all of us before it allows us to destroy her. Believe that. If you don't believe it, because earth been here for a while. Earth been here for a while. We are only, our time on this earth is only a blip. It's only a blip if you look at the totality of time and history that this earth has been around. Humanity is only a blip. And in the short time humanity has been here, matter of fact, From the 1800s, from the late 1800s, mid-late 1800s to now, we've managed to fuck the earth up. Think about that. Like, really think, really wrap your mind around, let's say from what you want to be graceful, say 1850s, 1820s, or what year you want to say, like, real industries really start bustling around the world, Pat?
If we're being honest, I'd say the Industrial Revolution of the mid-1900s. So
you would say that would be the boom of industry that. But I'm talking about like when did industry first start? Because I'm trying to think about the beginning of the emission of these type of pollutions.
The beginning of you mean like the beginning of the cause of humans impacting the environment negatively, right?
Yeah. Through these industrial emissions, not necessarily the boom of the industrial age, but like the beginning of the fucking up.
I guess we could go back to the early 1900s, the early 1900s, late 1800s.
Okay.
When people started transporting. When crop transports became rampant because sea travel became a lot easier. And so, right. That's when you started having foreign species really beginning to be implanted into areas that they weren't indigenous to, they weren't native to. With the increase in the sea trade and the speed and the viability of being able to carry something from one side of the globe to another. And then, I say it picked up a little bit more, definitely the Industrial Revolution was a key ingredient because a lot of people don't know is that the first cars, those Ford Model Ts, they were electric. They weren't gas burning. So that whole discussion about how cars went from being electric to gas is an interesting conversation that's very similar to why we use paper instead of hemp, So.
Yeah. That goes into the illegalizing of the marijuana. But also, not to cut you off, my bad. But I forgot about the dude that Dick Gregory mentions that created the car before the Ford thing. Was that? Do you know if that was electric as well?
Yes, back then. Well, I don't know which person he's talking about, but when the Model Ts came out, there were two specific types of cars. One was a gas, and the other one was electric. And at the time, the public chose electric. Gas cars made their comeback a little bit later with the destruction of the electric cars. And that was corporate interest and blah, 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 blah. But I'm not sure exactly what Dick Gregory's talking about, but I do know at that time there were gas cars and electric cars, and there were multiple companies. Ford wasn't the first one to do it. They were just the first one to do it mass-produced and to do it in a way that, made it so cheap that everybody could get a car.
Right. But like I'm saying, though, like, it hasn't been a long time since like industry has begun and things have been starting to be emitted into the environment. And think about the amount of damage that has been done, say, since the late 1800s to now, to the early 2000, to the early 2010, or well, late 2010s, but still early 20th century, or 21st century rather, early 21st century, and look at the damage we've done to the environment.
Yeah. It's been
That's ridiculous. But and then, it, like you were saying, though, if you go to the boom of the Industrial Revolution, to the 1900s, to now, to when it really kicked off, that's even shorter time.
Yeah, it's been the because a lot of people don't realize they you know the significance of the Industrial Revolution can't be overstated. Not only did all of a sudden you have the ability for human, because the population boom was largely able to be supported by the Industrial Revolution. So now you're talking about not only a massive increase in the amount of people on the planet and the, yeah. the amount of resources needed to support and sustain those types of growing populations. You know, you're going from, you know, billions of people to or you're going from hundreds of millions of people to billions of people quickly. You know, the population doubled during that period of time globally. You know, so not only that, but then you start looking at how just a lot of people don't realize just how much toxic product we were putting into the atmosphere during the Industrial Revolution, because people thought the world was so big and we're so small, there's no way we could negatively affect it. What they weren't considering is the duration. How long can you pump millions and millions of tons of toxic chemicals into the air before you run out of headroom? Like it right. doesn't it like if there's a finite resource and our atmosphere is a finite resource, you can't endlessly dump stuff into it.
Right. You it can't. Wasn't a finite resource of intelligence, I'll tell you that. But I mean, but it just, but I think about this all the time, like those people who spurred those, the Industrial Revolution, all that, they really just thought about the money, really didn't care about anything else. It was just about money. And then they just, it's like, I know the environment is, well, I don't know if they even knew, but it's just like, the environment is being fucked up, so fuck it, dog. Don't even matter. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, bro.
And it's just like, this is what we live in. And you still got people to this day who just don't give a damn. Just like, yeah, or whatever. Or they're denied and just, this is what we need to do so we can make money and all this other stuff. So.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. It is. It's very interesting how even now listening to the deniers, and I'm not talking about the people who disagree on the cause of it. I'm talking about the people who outright just deny that it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Those same people I'm talking about that's trying to make it seem like y'all crazy or we crazy.
Yeah, that's just, you know, I don't know. I just don't know what to say about that.
That I mean, but it's part of the propaganda, though. It's a part of all the propaganda and stuff that goes to continuing this environmental injustice that we face, that we blindly face on a regular basis, because we've been conditioned to not care about the environment like that. But environmental injustice is just as serious as racism.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
So I mean, so we have to be able to pay attention to that. Like, we should not take our environments being fucked up, because we're going to die if it happens. Like, we can't have infestations of animals and things who are carrying diseases on top of people already spreading STDs and things like this that's happening in their societies, on top of all the health issues that we already have. And when you talk about pollution and environmental, hey, a lot of times people don't even think about their health and like all the stuff that you put into your body.
Right.
So, I mean, all of that goes into us really paying attention to what's what's going on to us, what's going on around us. And it's not falling for the bull no more. It's really not falling for the bull no more. I mean, you know, that's just, I don't know how, I don't know any other way to say that. But just, we got to wake up. And if we don't wake up, like I said before, our kids gonna hate us.
Most of.
Like you said, an extinction level event is happening for damn sure, especially if we don't turn nothing around. And the earth will get rid of us before it allows us to destroy it. And if you don't believe, pay attention. See what happens. See what, watch your kids be mad at you. So this is part one of our show about paying attention to the environment and ecosystem and all these things and how important it is. So show two next Wednesday, we're going to go a little deeper as far as breaking down the different things specifically and going into more reports and data and statistics and things. You know, it's going to be a little nerdy, but like I said, this we just wanted to give it to you straight raw, and then now we could back it up with more statistics and things. So I'll make sure y'all stay tuned for that. Go ahead. What you got to tell them, Pat? What you going to tell them? What you going to tell them this week?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Power to the environment. Go pick up some trash and make sure you recycle. Stop putting stuff in the wrong trash cans. Put your plastic in the plastic is in the bottom. In the bottom, put your trash in the trash and pick up some damn trash on your way out. And if you don't be complaining about your environment. Hey, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. It's Freedom Train Podcast Series, man. Put your fingers in the air. Spit them apart.
I'll holla.
Mouse stuck right now, but I edit this part, the rest of the part out of it, but when my mouse stopped tripping, I can start to record. Oh, you can do it on your end.
I'll pull the side up.
Soft ass mouse. Soft ass computer. I need to buy me a new computer.
I'm going to the website.
Check out me, Mr. Boom. You think black people ever really give a shit about the environment?
No, I don't. I think it's possible, but I think it's, you know, we got to start talking about it differently. I think right now black people don't see it as an issue because we don't believe it. You know, I mean, black people don't even really believe the weatherman.